fantasy opinion that matters.
It's Matt Freeman, the Oracle.
Who's the Oracle?
He's a fantasy football genius, okay? No wife, no job, just pure football knowledge.
He just licked a hot dog.
Expert analysis giving you the inside track for your league's crown.
Sidebar.
What's sidebar?
You can't take my number one pick.
You give me the number one pick, I'm going to give you my sixth pick in the draft, okay? And I'm going to give your client 7 years. I'm going to knock it down from 10 to 7.
This is PDX Fantasy Sports Pundits.
Where in the court of law do you use the phrase, I'm going to get this right, balls deep?
Well, if you must know, Mr. Swall,
we're representing a children's playground consortium. Number of children drowned in a ball pit. We're wondering how deep is balls deep?
They were up to their mouth in balls.
Yes, they were balls deep.
Now, from Intercom Studios in Portland, Oregon, here is Jesse Osmond.
Deep down the middle of the field, on the fly, he's got Sanders at the 10, at the 5. He'll high-step it the last 5 yards. Touchdown, Denver. A 64-yard strike.
And guest host, Jeff Henry.
Ball is caught far sideline, turning up field wide open and into the end zone for a touchdown is Philip Lindsay. And somebody just completely lost Lindsay that time.
Now, here is the PDX Fantasy Sports Pundits. Welcome in for this week's episode. We do have ourselves a guest host this week in Jeff Henry.
Hey, Jeff. All those football fans.
Welcome. Now, one thing everybody needs to know about Jeff is if there's one person out there that I respect the fantasy opinion of more than anybody, there's one person out there that can sway my opinion on a start, on a sit, on one of my teams, it is Jeff Henry. Just so y'all know, this man knows what he's talking about. He lives, breathes, and loves fantasy football.
Ride or die. It's all about football, baby.
Now, it has been a rough season for you to start in our league. He has been one of the founding members. He is the associate commissioner of the league that I run and started. And he has been having a rough start to the season this year. How are you feeling about your odds of making the playoffs?
You know, I always feel good about that. If I'm playing, I'm winning. That's all there is to it.
You know what? One thing that you've always had a problem with, as far as past drafts, is been having a job that has been scheduled at the exact same time as the drafts. So you've been trying to work and draft at the same time. It's affected you in the past, but you're a waiver wire killer. And despite whether you had a bad draft or a good draft, you murder on the waiver wire.
You know what? If you don't have time to draft, you got to pay attention to what's going on and hit that waiver wire. I mean, that's all there is to it. Finally, this year, you know, had some time, sat down and draft. Our draft literally was 7.5 hours. you know, and the first time in 3 years, I had a good draft.
Yeah, yeah, no, great draft. You got the I would say so far the steal off of the waivers and Philip Lindsay. He's the guy I told everybody out there before the season started, go out, grab Philip Lindsay, or you'll regret it. And guess what? I regret it because I know that you have him and I want him.
He's one of those guys, you know, you thought, who thought at the beginning of the season that he was going to be the Broncos number one? Seriously, who thought? Nobody.
I don't think I saw number one. I thought this guy was going to be useful the way Austin Eckler is, a complimentary piece right to the thunder that is Royce Freeman. And currently, Philip Lindsay, he's got lightning on the edges and in between the tackles. Whether he gets 12 touches or 16, he's useful in your lineup.
Absolutely. And we, you know, at the beginning of the season, we thought, you know, he's going to catch a couple passes because in the preseason, he's such a great back out of the backfield. You know, he's going to do some return game. What a pleasant surprise, you know, and for you and me being, you know, lifelong Bronco fans, there's We don't have a lot of things to kind of hold our hat on, but Philip Lindsay in this rookie class is one of those things.
Yeah, no, this rookie class is growing. Despite the fact that Royce Freeman being outshined by Philip Lindsay, he has still been phenomenal. He's actually the best back in the league against a stacked box. Didn't know if you knew that one, but it's true. This is a legit team. We just don't have a legit coach in Denver.
There it is. And we've talked about this a number of times. You got to stick to the game plan. You have to have the fortitude. You're up 10, Monday night football, 10 minutes left, and you three and out. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. If you don't fire a coach after that, obviously everybody's calling for VJ's head. It is probably time.
It's getting to the point where I'm almost in the, well, Denver might be in the Justin Herbert sweepstakes. So.
Hello.
Right?
Hey, and it's all about swag to me. You know, don't go quarterback. I would love to have another tackle. I would love to have – we got to fix the right side of our line. It's just not getting it done. But I think if you pound the ball a little bit and let those guys lean on the defensive line, you know, for three solid quarters, it's gonna pay off in the fourth quarter. We see it all the time. We just apparently can't have that foresight to do it in Denver.
No, we'll run for 7 yards a carry for the first three quarters, and then we won't run in the fourth. That's Vance Joseph way. Moving into some fantasy, we'll start with our Thursday night matchup. A lot of people forget about what's going on with those, but basically stock watch on players coming out of there. I honestly think Andrew Luck's got great stock. Obviously, he's just getting so many attempts, so much opportunity. And as we know, he's just a great quarterback that always finds ways to find the end zone. I think he's a guy that is continually going to be in your starting lineup. I don't think he's a must start type of quarterback, but I definitely think he's a guy that's going to be in your lineup more often than not. What I do think the stock that I'm more interested in this Indy team is Nyheim Hines, 15 carries, 45 yards, heavily involved in the passing game, 7 receptions, 45 yards there. He had 90 total yards. If you're in PPR format, that's an extra 7 points right there. That's an RB2 pretty much in any week. And then you look at Eric Ebron, 9 receptions, 105 yards, 2 touchdowns. The question of that being, what's going to happen when T.Y. Hilton comes back and what's going to happen when Jack Doyle comes back?
There it is. And I don't see Doyle doing much. I honestly don't. He clearly has chemistry with Luck. We know that. Luck is a gamer. He's a one-man show. Unfortunately, he's carrying that franchise. Ebron was a huge start. I started in one of my leagues last week. You know what? I'm going to do it again. I'm going to go with him, especially with T.Y. out. Obviously, Ebron could have had 40 points in that game, let's be honest. He dropped a touchdown pass. One was called back. Luck overshot him a couple of times.
Yep.
The run game's not there. And even if it is, even if the run game is there in Indy, it's not going to be great. You know they're going to be thrown in the fourth quarter trying to catch up. If you got Luck, you got to start him.
Yeah, no, Eric Ebron, honestly, is a must-start. I think even when Jack Doyle comes back, I think he's a must-start. Yep. He's just getting too many looks, not just in the red zone, but in the end zone. I don't know if there's anybody getting more looks in the end zone right now than Eric Ebron. He's getting them literally every single week. Even when Jack Doyle was in the lineup, he was getting these red zone targets. When T.Y. Hilton was in the lineup, he was getting these red zone targets. That's what they brought him into Indy to do. And he's doing it well so far. He's got 5 touchdowns through the first 5 weeks of the season, only 1 week without a touchdown. I think your receptions can be tempered a little bit when T.Y. comes back, when Jack Doyle comes back. But I think that the upside at tight end with what he brings you in the red zone, he's a must start.
It's as simple as that. You know, even if he gets 4 catches and a touchdown, how the tight ends are shaking out this year, that's a good start.
In New England, I think obviously it was good to see Julian Edelman back in PPR formats. I think he's going to be extremely useful for you, probably a back-end wide receiver too, most weeks in that high-end wide receiver 3. Every once in a while, pop into the wide receiver 1 territory, but doesn't get a lot of touchdowns. And honestly, 7 receptions, 57 yards, that's a classic Julian Edelman line where he's getting receptions, but he's not getting a lot of yards out of that.
There it is. And he's not getting any looks in the end zone, especially with Gordon coming in there. Amazing catch into that football game. Gronk is going to get those end zone looks. Unfortunately, you know, Hogan, he's just going to kind of fall by the wayside. Dorsett's going to fall by the wayside. Obviously, James White's going to get a bunch of covers or a bunch of touches coming out of the backfield. And hey, Brady, you know, he spreads it around. You know, I think you put Edelman on another team, you put Gronk on another team, they're going to be number one in their position, I think, without a doubt. But Brady spreads it around. It's hard to guess.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, there's certain guys on here right now. James White getting his every week. Rob Gronkowski, he's kind of been a letdown so far this year, but he's still extremely useful at the tight end position. Josh Gordon's the interesting cat. 2 receptions, 50 yards, touchdown. Honestly, for me right now, he's a flex. I can't put him in that wide receiver 3 territory. I can't put him in wide receiver 2 right now, and that mostly has to do with 4 targets, 2 receptions. And as great as that reception was in the end zone, to me, it was more about 2 Indianapolis Colts defensive backs that didn't make a play on a ball.
That's right. And who trusts Gordon at this point? I don't see how you can, you know, 14 games or 16 games in 4 years or something. Just because you're in a Patriots uniform doesn't make you Randy Moss again. Although everybody wants to say he's the next coming of Randy Moss. Randy Moss is a Hall of Famer.
Exactly.
Josh Gordon is not. Let's be honest.
Yeah, and that's it, without a doubt. Josh Gordon, everybody's chasing a season that was 5 years old, 6 years old at this point. He is what he is. He's an elite athlete that can make plays and, like I said, is a flex.
There it is.
In moving on to the Sunday games, let's start with the Titans. Bills, not much to really talk about there. Mariota, honestly, he's on my waiver. I would have him on waiver wires. He's droppable. Josh Allen, not startable. I don't care what he does with his legs. I think it's more to me about what they're not doing in Tennessee. Derrick Henry, useless. Deion Lewis, for the most part, useless. Corey Davis, flex at best. Is there anything in Tennessee that you want to own?
There can't be. I love Corey Davis. I love his hands. I love his athleticism. You just don't know what they're going to do every day. 13 to 12 game, who do you start in that game? I'm not even sure if you want anybody on your fantasy roster in that game. I love Mariota. I know you're a Mariota guy. Titans, Bills. You know what? The only bright spot, honestly, in that game is got to be Shady. Banged up, got some banged up ribs. You know, 24 carries, 85 yards. Eventually, that's going to turn into a buck 15. But that Tennessee defense is sneaky tough.
It really is, and it is obviously the strength of a team that has won ugly in 3 of their 5 matches thus far. And I agree with you. The only player in this game that I would have any interest in is LeSean McCoy, and as a flex, mostly because of the offense he is. Now, the interesting thing about him is the trade talks that have risen about him, that Buffalo is interested in moving him. They're in that admitted youth movement with Josh Allen at quarterback, really kind of wasting this running back's later years. And he has been linked to Philadelphia. Guess what? They just lost Jay Ajayi. Does that make you something as far as this is somebody I want to target in a buy low trade scenario?
How in the world are we talking about Shady going back to Philly? You know what I mean? how bizarre is this?
Twilight Zone.
I think it could happen. Do you hang your hat on Smallwood all year? I don't think you do. I think you have a window. That defense in Philadelphia is strong. JJ might not be the best fit for that team, to be honest. If you put a Lev Bell or a Shady McCoy in there, that offense, that's a 13-win team out of the gate. I could see Shady going back to Philly. I really could.
I could too, as well. I think he is a better fit than Ajayi is. They obviously liked Ajayi for certain things, so they just didn't like him as all-around back. As we know, Shady can do it all. He can block, he can catch, he can run between the tackles, gets the edge. How many more years he can do that? That remains to be seen. But for a team that is basically in all in now, doesn't have to spend on the quarterback right now, Shady is a really nice fit if you're not going to go out and get a guy like Le'Veon Bell.
Absolutely. And from Shady's perspective, he's been the franchise in Buffalo. That's clearly not going to be the case anymore. It would make a lot of sense for Shady to go there, carry the ball, you know, 15, 17, 20 times a game, catch a couple 3-5 passes out of the backfield. That's what an elite halfback does these days. It's not carrying the rock 25 times, you know, for $1.15. It's 20 carries, 6 catches out of the backfield, 50 yards, touchdown, not banging yourself up, catching those little swing passes, getting out of bounds. Makes a lot of sense for Shady at this point in his career.
The Dolphins and Bengals, well, going in different directions the last 2 weeks. Bengals move on to 4-1. Dolphins dropped 2 in a row. Ryan Tannehill started out the gate as a guy. Were we going to add him to our roster? The answer is no. You don't really want much to do with the Miami offense in general. Kenny Stills is nice if you want a guy who will at some weeks be a wide receiver too, and other weeks be non-existent. Kenyon Drake involved in the passing game, but is being devalued in the rushing game. Gore gets 6 more touches than he did in the rushing game last week. What's Kenyon Drake's value going forward?
Well, I think, to be honest, he's the only one that's even been remotely consistent down in Miami. Albert Wilson's going to show out every now and again. Kenny Stills is going to show out every now and again. Tannehill, Jekyll and Hyde, who shows up? You never know. Stay away from Miami. That's all I got to say. But if you're really thinking about one of, you know, Frank Gore being one of the guys who's going to get the most points out of Miami from week to week, you're in trouble. Stay away from Miami.
Yeah, Miami, very scary. I think you hit it on the head with the Jekyll and Hyde comment. There's just no trust there. And to me, fantasy is all about trust and opportunity. If you have opportunity, that's one mark. If you have if I can get trust in you, then you're a must start. There is no trust and very little opportunity in that offense. Andy Dalton continues to play well, not his best performance, but I think the scoring bonanza that has been the NFL took a step back in general this last week. Joe Mixon, honestly, if he's healthy, must start, cannot not be in your lineup. Same thing with AJ Green. Tyler Boyd took a step back, but I still think coming off 7 targets, he is a guy that is in that high-end flex wide receiver 3 territory from week to week.
Absolutely. And obviously, A.J. Green, obviously Joe Mixon, you got him, you start him. You and I have had a running joke about Andy Dalton for years, and he's kind of one of those guys that you have on your squad and – you never start him. He rides the bench. Sometimes he's going to have huge, huge days.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say, I hate Andy Dalton. I'm just going to throw that out there. Hey, the Bengals are 4-1. What are you going to do?
All right. I hate Andy Dalton the same way I hate guys like the DeSean Jackson, where it's like some weeks he's going to literally help win you your league, if not win you your week. But other weeks, he's going to be an anchor holding you back, really trying to prevent you from getting that win. And I just can't stand players like that. I'm okay watching a player like DeSean Jackson go off for 150 yards and two touchdowns one week, knowing that next week he's probably just going to get 16 yards and a reception. So Dalton is that type of guy, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Ravens, they fall to the Browns. This is really, the Browns to me are interesting. I see the talent there. Hyde's getting the opportunity there. Baker Mayfield, I think, is really opening things up for that offense. Honestly, it's, if you invested in this offense, I think all it's going to do is get better moving forward.
There's no question. We're talking about the Browns, so let's just get this, you know, the monkey off the back here. Carlos Hyde is getting the touches. You and I have had an argument about this guy lately. I don't love him, but he's getting production. You know what? I think it boils down to, and you see it in the stat line, Baker Mayfield's not throwing 56 times like Flacco did, right?
Right.
You balance the offense, and Baker has guts. He can hit you outside the hash lines. He owns inside those hash lines. Some of those passes he makes, he's an impressive guy, and he spreads it around. You know, you just look at the line on that Baltimore-Cleveland game. You see Flacco throws 56 times, 29 for 56. You don't have to look at the score. You know they lose. As soon as you give up on the run game, you're going to lose, and your fantasy value is just going to trickle.
Yeah, and right now that's the one thing you could say about Hugh Jackson. He is committed to the run this season. He's committed knowing that he has a good defense. He has a rookie quarterback who, honestly, the moment Baker Mayfield stepped on that field, I saw better running lanes for the likes of Carlos Hyde, Duke Johnson, Nick Chubb. So Mayfield instantly made an improvement for this offense.
There's no question. And you look at it, I mean, he had four guys with over 60 yards in that game. He threw for 340. Four guys have, you know, as a fantasy, as you look at it as far as fantasy, you don't love that. I think the Browns are a better team for it. Obviously, they have a couple of wins, which is fantastic for Cleveland. But fantasy-wise, You would think Landry would be running away with it. Callaway's a hit and a miss. Everybody else, I think you just have to pass on.
Yeah, no, I honestly think you're right. I think Hyde, Landry, both guys that are weekly starters for the most part. I like stashing Callaway. I think he has like Tyreek Hill style upside. He just hasn't been able to put it together, and he's a rookie, so that often happens with wide receivers. Obviously, keeper leagues, dynasty leagues, he has a lot more value. But who I think is really getting the biggest boost, who has improved from week to week, is Njoku, who last week, 6 receptions, 69 yards PPR. You're definitely happy with that. 69 yards in general for a tight end, you're typically happy with that if he doesn't get in the end zone. So Njoku has been better every week, especially with Mahomes. With Mayfield in the lineup. Baltimore, this is the interesting one. I think John Brown's a flex. He's a nice flex. He's definitely going to give you good weeks. He's the one wide receiver I want to own in this offense. It's the running back situation that John Harbaugh refuses to address. Alex Collins, despite the fact that he does have an admitted fumble problem, is by far the best back in this backfield, but he will not let Javorius Buck Allen go away. This is what's most frustrating to me, is you could have a quarterback who throws an interception every year, Case Keenum, every week, and he doesn't get benched for the backup quarterback. He gets to keep throwing interceptions. A running back fumbles the ball once in 2 games, 4 games, whatever, he gets benched. That is frustrating to me when you can see that he jumps out of the film in ways that Javorius Buck Allen doesn't. Do you see Alex Collins ever kind of stepping out, really taking hold of this running back role this season?
You know, putting on your GM hat, Buck Allen is a ball player. And it's kind of the Patriot effect. Everybody has to have an in-between-the-tackle kind of, you know, ground-and-pound, smash-your-face kind of guy. And then they have to have a guy that's going to catch them out of the backfield and do that. You see, Duke Johnson's the same thing for Cleveland. Everybody wants to keep him, throw him in as a flex. Guess what? It's never going to pan out. Buck Allen is doing that to Alex Collins. Alex Collins is clearly the better back. He's clearly the better back. But it's just today's NFL. You know, if we go back 10 years, Alex Collins is a 1,400-1,500 yard, you know, 14 touchdown kind of guy. That's just not today's game.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to do a quick injury update. Then Jeff and I will be back and we'll do some more stock watch.
Big news coming out of Carolina. Panthers quarterback Cam Newton will have surgery on his left ankle tomorrow.
When it comes to fantasy, injuries are just part of the game, but boy, can it hurt.
Bad news for the Houston Texans. I'm told by two sources, star running back Arian Foster is out for the entire 2013 season.
But that's what we're here for, to keep you up to date on all the tweaks.
He said he felt about 96% with it and could get to 100% if they would just take care of the simple procedures.
Bumps.
It's a small deal.
And tears.
I think is the type of thing you would want to get done during the offseason.
Now here's Jesse Osman with your PDX Fantasy Sports Pundit's injury update.
Jay Ajayi tore his ACL on Sunday, an injury that came out of nowhere considering the running back finished the game. It is now next man up for the Eagles, and that most likely means running back by committee of Corey Clement, who's been dealing with injuries of his own, as well as Wendell Smallwood. Both have had moments this season, but until further notice, both must be considered a flex until a workload pattern emerges for the two backs. Doug Baldwin is a full participant in practice after dealing with multiple knee injuries to start the season. Despite the stud wide receiver looking to be full go Sunday, expectations must be tempered in this run-heavy offense, and that not only limits the upside of the receiver in Seattle, but Russell Wilson as well. Baldwin is a flex status until he can establish a significant target load in Seattle. After Devonta Freeman returned from knee injuries in week 5, the bruising back looks to be in jeopardy of missing week 6 with both a bone contusion in his foot. Despite the fact he looks like a no-go this week, as of right now, this does not look like a multi-week injury. This raises the Tevin Coleman stock into RB2 status this week. In Minnesota, the Vikings are looking to get their ground game going, but it's going to take the return of their sophomore back, Dalvin Cook, who's been suffering from a never-ending hamstring injury to start the season. Cook was a limited participant in practice, but could still be on the shelf one more week considering the setbacks he's already suffered this season. If he can't go, Latavius Murray is in a good place to get the Vikings their first rushing touchdown of the season, but is not a great option for starting lineups. In LA, the Rams receivers Brandon Cooks and Cooper Kupp were cleared for walkthroughs for this week's matchup with Denver. Despite the fact that they were listed as non-participants, this makes for a great opportunity for both these receivers to be available for your lineups this week.
We'll be back in a second with more Fantasy Sports Pundits.
And we're right back here. We're going to move on to the Packers and the Lions. Aaron Jones he's stuck in running back by committee purgatory with Jamal Williams, Ty Montgomery. Really only two fantasy options I need to own are Aaron Rodgers and Adams. However, despite the fact that Davante Adams has dealt with some injuries, he is the guy. The rest of this wide receiving core has been kind of a merry-go-round. You had St. Brown, Valdez-Scantling starting last week because you have Geronimo Allison, Randall Cobb dealing with injuries. Allison probably should be back this week. Not sure about Cobb. It's just kind of a merry-go-round. Like I said, Adams, Rodgers, the two guys that you need. I'm going to hang on to Jones, but I don't think I really want anything to do with Williams or Montgomery. I think that they are waiver wire trash, if you ask me.
No question. You'd want to see, you'd love to see Aaron Jones get some touches for sure. My favorite guy on the Packers, as you well know, is Jimmy Graham. Of course, 11 targets, 6 catches. Jimmy Graham, you gotta love him. Devontae Adams is the man. These couple of these young guys, you know, St. Brown and Valdez Scantling. Scantling got 10 targets, right?
And he did something with him.
He did, and he got in the end zone. You hear the kind of the chatter all week about him. Props to the people that went out there, listened to it, started him.
Indeed. And that was kind of a 1 week start. I don't think once you have Geronimo Allison come back, once you have Randall Cobb back, that Marquez Valdez Scantling is going to be a thing. I don't think Equanimeous St. Brown is going to be a thing. He also had a decent game. It's one of those things. So you are catching the ball from Aaron Rodgers. I think disappointing as Jimmy Graham has been, he is totally, as far as a tight end, been functional in fantasy this year. Not necessarily what you were hoping to get out of him, being Aaron Rodgers is his quarterback, but at the position, he's definitely, especially in PPR, living up to that mid-round pick that you spent on him.
Tight end as a whole has not been projected. They have not been playing very great. Kels, Gronk. You think going in, Jimmy Graham is going to be a top five guy. He's definitely a top 10 guy. You're happy with it, but certainly, Allison's going to be back next week. Cobb's going to be back the following week. Jimmy's going to go back into his, 3 year purgatory where he belongs.
Yeah, indeed. As far as the Lions, I think that really the story has been about Kerryon Johnson. When is this guy going to get his touches? You look at 12 carries for 70 yards to LeGarrette Blount's 12 for 22. Blount did find the end zone twice, but you look at the 12 for 22, and that's not getting it done, averaging just under 2 yards a carry, and this has been kind of a trend for Blount. When is Johnson going to get his run?
Seems like Blount always has that curse for the other guy, right? Like, 12 for 22, are you kidding me? I know a lot of it was near the end zone. Johnson has to start getting his carries, but for me, it's more Matthew Stafford and the wide receiver by committee. Golden Tate clearly is the number one. He's not getting his touches. Marvin Jones, obviously knocked out, not getting his touches. I think my favorite favorite wideout on that team is Kenny Galladay.
I love Galladay, and he to me is just a guy that's building up steam, building up momentum. I think he's going to make Marvin Jones a thing of the past, and it's literally going to be all about Galladay, all about Tate, and those are the only pass catchers that you want to own in Detroit at this point. Marvin Jones is going to be on a lot of rosters, but I don't think he's a guy that you're going to feel comfortable starting from week to week.
I have him on a couple of my teams, and he's been sitting the last couple of weeks. Again, nobody on that run game is anybody you can trust. You certainly can't trust Matthew Stafford. He'll throw, 400 yards and 3 touchdowns one game, and then he'll throw 183.
It's the classic Matthew Stafford effect.
And win, right? I mean, how does that even make sense?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. The Detroit Lions are a conundrum to me this year. They've looked like the worst team in the NFL, and they've looked like one of the best teams in the NFL. And more often, they look like the worst than the best.
There it is. And guess what? They're still in the division. They're still in it. 2-3.
Amazing. Kansas City Chiefs get their best win of the season, a 30-14 victory over the Jaguars. Patrick Mahomes. Doesn't find the end zone through the air, but does get a rushing touchdown. Still, to me, an elite quarterback you want in your lineups every week. Kareem Hunt gets his 22 carries. Kind of what you want to see as a Kareem Hunt owner, and as well as, you know, what you really want to see, though, is his involvement in the passing game. You haven't seen that enough this year. Are you worried about Hunt's involvement in the passing game, or is this what it's going to be moving forward?
I think this is what it's going to be moving forward. As much as it hurts me to say, Pat Holmes is a top three quarterback in this league. He doesn't have a ton of weakness outside of the pocket. Dude's amazing. He also spreads it around. He's not going to force feed Tyreek. He's not going to force feed Kelsey. Obviously, Sammy Watkins, hit or miss, Jekyll Hyde kind of guy. I have liked Hunt the last couple of weeks. Obviously, against Denver, he had a huge week. A little bit surprising on the ground. Me being a Hunt owner, the last couple of weeks is looking up.
Yeah, no, it's definitely what you want to see being a Hunt owner. Obviously, you would like to see him get a little bit more involved in the passing game, but the carries have been there, and that was something that dropped off at times last season, so you're hoping that 20-plus carries is going to be the norm moving forward. In Jacksonville, T.J. Yeldon, currently, until further notice, the guy that you want to own. He's going to be the most involved in the rushing game. He's very involved in the passing game. But the passing game, for the most part, this has been Russian roulette. You don't know exactly who you want to play. My thought's always been, if you're in PPR, D.D. Westbrook's the guy. If you're going to be in standard league, I like Keelan Cole. I like Dante Moncrief a little bit better.
I'm just going to get it on the table right now. I refuse to talk about T.J. Yeldon. I'm just not going to do it. He's hurt me year after year, so we're just not going there. Blake Bortles, again, has a chance to show up, doesn't show up, throws four picks, 16, you know, QBR. Everybody wants to see Corey Grant step up and get some touches. That's not going to happen. I do like that Bortles will force it a little bit to Cole and Moncrief. I'm a fan of Didi, but how do you trust that Jacksonville offense?
To me, I'd like that. I'm going to understand putting guys in the Jacksonville offense in my lineup that there are going to be down weeks. That's just kind of what happens with this offense. But at the same time, there are going to be really good weeks. This is a trust factor for me. You're putting them in there. They're flex. You're hoping. You're putting them in there because they got a good matchup. And honestly, in standard leagues, you know, Keelan Cole and Dante Moncrief were fine for you last week. D.D. Westbrook, not so great. So it's just, you're right. You're kind of throwing up in your mouth a little bit when you're putting these guys in your lineup.
Seven guys with over 50 yards receiving. great, you know. How do you hang your hat on that in fantasy? You just can't.
Now, the one thing that I do think is interesting coming out of last week for Jacksonville in their passing game is Niles Paul. He had a very successful week last week with ASJ going on IR. I think that really opens the door for the likes of Niles Paul, who had a better day than ASJ, I think, has had all season and all of last season. So I think there is some upside there with the likes of Niles Paul.
Well said.
Broncos, Jets, I am going to open this wound. Phillip Lindsay, to me, Emmanuel Sanders, those are the two guys on the Broncos that you want to start. Demaryius Thomas, I don't think I'm dropping him. I'm still keeping him on my bench, but he's not going to be in my starting lineup until I see more 5 receptions, 105 yards, touchdown performance out of him. Sanders has been solid from week to week to week. There are better options out there at wide receiver, but he does, in PPR especially, have a very good floor. Phillip Lindsay, to me, is an RB2 just on his ability. And almost a must start depending on what your running back situation is. Royce Freeman is, he's going to be frustrating because he has a lot of ability. He has a lot of talent. I know they like him, but he is going to be so game script dependent. You're going to have to predict which games he's going to get that run, which games are going to be like last week where he got five carries for 31 yards.
Eventually, at some point, the Broncos have to go more to the ground game. Obviously, 17 carries against the Jets isn't going to get it done. The carries they had against Kansas City the week before isn't going to get it done. I'm a Phillip Lindsay guy all the way through. Royce is the kind of guy that you should be able to hang your hat on. Of course, with Vance, you can't trust Royce because you can't trust Vance, and it's that simple. Demaryius, been a Bronco fan since 86. Guy's dropped more balls than anybody else in the league since 2014. Has never really got that chemistry with Case. Emmanuel, I think you're dead on. They've been throwing that little reverse to him, which some huge gains in preseason. Emmanuel's that kind of guy that has the energy that really sparks the team. As far as fantasy, you want to have him on your team. I think he is. I think he's probably a natural flex right now. There's really nobody else. You know, Huey's had a couple of good games, but it hurts me to say Emmanuel and Lindsay's the only really two players that are going to be, and Lindsay's an RB2.
Yeah, I am keeping my eye on Sutton. Sutton's been making plays. He's getting better from week to week to week. But right now, he's somebody I'm just keeping my eye on. He's not somebody I need to have on my bench. New York. Oh, go ahead.
No. Sutton is a keeper guy. I think he can get some down the stretch. I think he's going to get, you know, four or five touchdowns the last five games. But he's on the bottom of all three of my benches and all three of my teams. But the only one that has any value is in my keeper league.
Moving forward, I kind of look at Isaiah Crowell, Bilal Powell in the same light. I both think that they're flexes. Depending on the week, they're either going to be a low-end or a high-end flex. I think 219 yards and a touchdown on 15 carries is more of an aberration than the standard that you should expect out of Crowell. And if anything, I think he is a really great sell-high candidate.
Most rushing yards in Jets history, 219. Off 15 carries. 14.6 a carry. I mean,
that's a record for the Jets.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And Sam Darnold, I can't trust the guy. He had a couple of great touch passes, long passes to Robbie Anderson. I really want to like Robbie Anderson, but if he doesn't catch a deep ball, he has no value.
Yeah, no, that's one of those things that Robbie Anderson, the talent's there, but the targets aren't there, and that's part of the trust. Until you get the opportunity, you don't get that trust. And he's just not getting enough opportunity. Obviously, three catches, 123 yards, two touchdowns, not a sustainable thing moving forward. The Steelers and the Falcons, we're going to try to pound through this a little bit quicker. Matt Ryan is continued to improve after that week one flop. Ben Roethlisberger continues to do what he does, sling touchdowns. James Conner, after a couple lackluster weeks, comes out, puts up a Le'Veon Bell-esque type week. Devontae Freeman, he's dealing with some injuries. Honestly, we all know where the value is here. We know Ben Roethlisberger's a starter. We know James Conner, until further notice, is a guy that you have to have in your lineup. Probably after the bye week, that's when the questions start. I think the biggest question is Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster, are they kind of on even footing moving forward, or is Antonio Brown still the guy in this offense?
I think you got to say Antonio Brown is still the guy in this offense, and it's the same, almost the same conversation you were having on the opposite side there with you know, Julio and Calvin Ridley. Ridley was having some huge games, six touchdowns so far. But obviously they're a year away from having that, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown talk. James Conner's there's no surprise that he had this huge game, and then we're talking Lev Bell possibly going to Philly. Lev Bell doesn't have to be in a Steelers uniform again, as far as I'm concerned. Roethlisberger, he's having just like 340 a game with 2.5 touchdowns. I think Matt Ryan is in MVP running.
Yeah, no. After that flop, Matt Ryan's just been nothing short of fantastic. This team just can't seem to catch a break, despite the fact that they seem to be clicking on all cylinders for the most part. I think Julio Jones has been frustrating. He has yet to find the end zone through 5 weeks. Now, we know that this is something that Julio Jones has struggled in the past, but when you've seen Calvin Ridley come in and score 5 touchdowns in 2 weeks, you're going, where's Julio Jones' touchdowns?
And Ridley's catching touchdowns off slants off the 15-yard line. I mean, how do you not... If Ridley can do it, how does Julio not do it? Julio clearly is top three in the league. It's bizarre to me how they're not force-feeding Julio in the red zone just to get the monkey off his back.
All right, if I could give you Julio, Antonio Brown, Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins, who do you take?
Tough one. I think you have to go Antonio Brown then Hopkins. They're getting the targets, are getting in the end zone.
I like it. Moving on, the Giants and the Panthers. I don't know if you saw that finish, but it was a great one. Panthers win 33-31. Stun Eli Manning in the final moments. Graham Gano just hit a monster kick to get that one. Odell Beckham Jr. got his first touchdown of the season. It just was a passing touchdown and then a receiving touchdown. So he brought on the points. If you bought low on Odell Beckham, he paid out. And then Saquon Barkley continuing to be the man there. 2 touchdowns for him, 81 yards through the air, 48 yards on the ground. Another game where he gives you over 100 all-purpose yards. Those two right there, just fantasy powerhouses.
Who thought that Saquon was going to be more of a threat in the passing game than the running game? Everybody's talking about, you know, the running game is back in New York. Guess what? It really isn't. But Saquon is getting it done. I'm a huge fan of Christian McCaffrey, obviously being a Denver fan, you know, the human bruises kid. Eli is Eli. Let's be honest. His best stat is he's the second highest grossing quarterback in salary, and that's about it.
Yeah. I think Christian McCaffrey obviously runs CMC, is a guy that's going to be locked and loaded in your lineup every week. I think Devin Funchess, I think his value, especially in PPR formats, is about to go out the door with the return of Greg Olsen, who should be back shortly. Who I'm really interested in and keeping my eye on in this offense is Curtis Samuel. Had to deal with injury the first 4 weeks of the season, came out. I had 4 targets, 2 receptions, 37 yards, touchdown, looked athletic. He brings the speed. Is this somebody that you're interested in keeping your eyes on the waiver wire?
I don't see how you couldn't be. I also like DJ Moore a lot. They're both, you know, I think they're both definitely talented enough. Carolina's kind of that place where decent receivers go to die, let's be honest. You never really know what Cam's going to do, how he's going to show up. I think the only guy that you can really trust moving forward on that team catching the ball is Funchess is going to be a flex guy, and then clearly Greg Olsen is going to be a top 5 tight end from the second half of the season.
Yeah, I know that owners are licking their chops to get Olsen back in their lineup. He should be back sooner rather than later. Remember that they did not put him on IR for a reason. He's planning on getting the solution to that injury taken care of at the end of the season. That is a surgery. So he should be back soon, and owners should be licking their chops to get him back in their lineups, because I'm sure that they don't have as good of an option at tight end. Speaking of options at tight end, that is Jared Cook, who is coming off of a 4 for 20. Honestly, this is, despite the fact Jared Cook's having his best year as a receiving tight end, this is kind of what I expect, the good with the bad, and the bad being 4 receptions for 20 yards.
He's one of those guys that we've talked about before, that there's no floor. Is the floor going to be 4 for 20? We clearly know that he's a talented guy. He's just not consistent, and neither is that Oakland offense.
No. You think about the guys like Amari Cooper, who, once again, this is standard protocol for Amari Cooper. He does just enough to give you hope, just enough to crush you the next week as another horrible game for him. Hopefully you didn't have him in your lineups. 1 reception for 10 yards. To me, this offense, I'm more interested at this point in the likes of Jordy Nelson, who I'm blown away that I'm saying that. And honestly, Martavis Bryant turning out to be that big play threat, 3 receptions, 91 yards.
Jordy's Mr. Consistent has been in the league for a long time. It's not going to be any different playing for Chucky, although everybody wanted to write him off. Jordy Nelson is that guy. Martavius, what a season he's had. You know, traded, cut, re-signed. And then he's doing what he did for the Steelers, and I think he's a guy you can count on moving forward.
Yeah, no, he's definitely somebody. I know he's heavy on the waiver wire, but it wasn't even really picked up. He's definitely a guy if you're desperate at wide receiver. I think he's moving into that flex status quicker, sooner rather than later. For the Chargers, my question is Keenan Allen, 8 receptions, 90 yards, but still, you're kind of waiting for a breakout game from this guy. He's only got 32 receptions, 372 yards, and a touchdown on the season. Not what you were expecting when you used a high second-round pick on this receiver.
I think you're going to get a lot of receptions coming out of the backfield still. I think Phillip Rivers, if he's not in the MVP mention in that race right now, just throw that trophy away. He is playing lights out. Hurts me to say. He's probably my most hated quarterback in the league, but numbers don't lie.
No, he's been absolutely phenomenal. You are getting the value that you got out of him because you spent a late-round pick on him. Another guy that's just been perennially ignored in drafts. Austin Eckler continues to find ways to be useful, especially in PPR. He wasn't particularly efficient on the ground, 6 for 15, but he found his way into the end zone, 1 reception, 44 yards, touchdown. It seems like, despite the fact that he's an RB2 through 5 weeks, it just seems unsustainable.
I think he's a lot like Sproles in that mold that you just don't know what you're going to get out of him. You could get huge games, you could get nothing, and obviously you can't count on him for his ground game. The only upset I think he really have, and he has played good football this year, is out of the passing game.
Minnesota and the Eagles 2-3 on the season after winning the Super Bowl last year. Minnesota just getting that bad taste of a Thursday night loss out of their mouth. Adam Thielen, 5 straight games to start the season with over 100 yards, finds the end zone. Stephon Diggs, 10 receptions, 91 yards. This passing game is something, if you invested in this passing game, you are definitely getting your draft picks worth.
Adam Thielen, he needs 4 more games to tie Michael Irvin for 9 in a row. I am praying that he does it so we can shut the playmaker up. I'm tired of listening to him. You know, this Eagles offense, as soon as Wentz kind of settles in a little bit, I think they're going to play some good football. Obviously, we need to sort out what they're going to do with halfback. I feel that they're going to go out and get one, whether it's Shady, whether it's Lev Bell, which I'm hoping for. But Ertz has been playing lights out. I think he's the story of the season so far for Philly.
No, Ertz is he's been the one tight end that's just lived up to the bill. Once he broke out last year, he has failed to fall off. You're just, if you invested in Jay Ajayi, you're frustrated. If you invested in Corey Clement, you might be getting some dividends soon. But I think Wendell Smallwood might be the best back of the two. And just the way that Philadelphia has used their running backs the last two seasons, they like to rotate them so much. Whether you got Wendell Smallwood off the waiver wire, whether you got Corey Clement off the waiver wire, I still think they're just flexes moving forward.
And I think they are. I think you're right. And I think Philly will be just fine if they don't go get, you know, one of these bell cows out there. Alshon's just getting healthy. Alshon, he's going to play better. I mean, he's just going to keep getting better, better. Aguilar, we know what he's going to do. He's going to be that, you know, six receptions, 80 yards, a touchdown every other game guy. Ertz is just a Philly guy. I mean, he doesn't drop balls, 11 targets, 10 catches last game. And then back to Minnesota. I mean, Cousins is what we thought he was going to be. He's delivered. That defense hasn't been as good as they should be. I don't think that's a defense I would keep game in, game out, as far as fantasy and anybody in the running game right now for Minnesota. You just got to trade.
Yeah, no, Dalvin Cook it's the hamstring injury from hell. It's not getting better, and you just got to possibly – if somebody's still willing to trade for him, I think that you really need to consider taking it, because he's probably at this point just been a huge liability for your team. Cardinals, 49ers. Josh Rosen, not in the fantasy equation, but what he is doing is he's helping the other assets in this Cardinals offense. David Johnson, he's finally starting to live up to that first round billing. I don't think he's that first pick, second pick, third pick overall that some people used on him sort of billing, but I don't think you can use the bust on him, but I don't think he's going to live up to the spot that you took him. But at the same time, this guy's running good. He's running hard. He's just not running for Bruce Arians anymore.
There it is. And it was a rough first five picks for a lot of guys with Lev Bell and DJ. But we knew there was going to be some issues in Arizona. We just knew it. We knew at some point Bradford was going to go down, this time for playing time, or just because he wasn't playing well opposed to an injury. I think moving forward, Rosen is going to be he's going to have a solid second half of the year. Christian Kirk is going to probably have the most upside on that receiving squad. It hurts me to say, and Fitz is Fitz. One of the greatest receivers in our generation as far as fantasy. You know, Rosen's not going to be that 300 yards, 350, three touchdown guy. I think when Rosen starts getting his completion percentage up, BJ is going to start. Arizona's going to look better on the back end than they have the first end.
I agree. I'm at the point where Larry Fitzgerald, goodbye. Yeah, he's droppable for me. I don't think that I'm wasting the time, the space of a roster spot on him anymore. He's still a fine NFL receiver, but as far as fantasy asset, he's not somebody that I'm interested in anymore. For San Francisco, it's George Kittle that I'm interested in. He continues to be reliable, despite the fact C.J. Beathard's under center. Alfred Morris going to be the guy. He has some appeal based on his opportunity. I don't know how much trust I have in him. Matt Breida suffering from a mid-ankle sprain. That's going to be a multi-week injury. But what I think the biggest question coming out of week five is Kyle Juszczyk, who had six receptions on seven targets for 75 yards. Is this something that could be sustainable for him going forward as far as being involved in the passing game?
Well, you got to look at Breida being down for a couple of weeks, right? Alfred Morris, he's 114 years old. Let's be honest. I really like Kittle, but I just don't know who else you can trust on this team. And it really hurts me to say that. Losing really their two stars, you got to feel for Shanahan. I don't have any trust on anybody for San Francisco.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'll still trust Kittle based on what the tight ends are, and he even made plays when Jimmy Garoppolo went down in week four and C.J. Beathard came in. So I think C.J. Beathard and George Kittle are sustainable, especially how thin the tight end position is. I am thinking that if you're in a deep league, you're desperate need of a running back, I wouldn't mind taking a flyer on Juszczyk. At the very least, I'm keeping my eye on him to see if he's going to be involved in the passing game.
I think it could happen, and I do like Kittle. You know, I think he's one of those high-energy tight ends that and clearly he's shown it this year that he can produce no matter who's throwing him the football. And Alfred Morris and Juszczyk, I just don't know yet.
The Rams and Seahawks, I don't know if you saw any of that one. It was a barn burner. Rams go away with a 33-31 victory over the Seahawks at home. Cooper Kupp left this game with a concussion. We saw Brandon Cooks leave the game with a concussion. Both should be back this week. I guess the biggest thing is Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Brandon Cooks rank them moving forward.
That's tough. I think you got to go Cooks, Kupp, Woods, a little bit of a tongue twister there, but I'm a Cooper Kupp kind of guy. I really like him. Obviously Gurley's going to catch a fair amount of passes coming out of the backfield. And this was a surprising game. The Seahawks really should have won this. And I think the big story here is I think the Seahawks finally found the running back, Chris Carson.
Yeah.
19 for 116. Even Mike Davis, 12 for 68 with a touchdown. I mean, what are we talking about? Mike Davis? Are we serious?
I think right now what you're looking at is between Chris Carson, Mike Davis, the commitment to the run. And despite the fact whether the talent is degraded over time, this is still a Seattle Seahawks that prides on playing strong defense. They're going to continue to run the ball. That's going to be the identity of this offense. I think Mike Davis is in the low-end flex territory moving forward. I think Chris Carson is the RB2. He might be in high-end RB2 moving forward. The one thing I know that you don't want to hear is I think Rashad Penny, I think, is on the back burner.
Rashad who? I mean, he's supposed to be the guy. He was supposed to be the bell cow moving forward. Clearly, Carson outplayed him in the preseason, and then the first four or five games, Mike Davis outplayed him as a backup role. So I think the Seahawks are really looking for playmakers. Even Tyler Lockett's starting to show up. He's broken my heart the last couple of years. Seahawks are just looking for anybody to make a play, and I think Chris Carson and Tyler Lockett moving forward is going to be the guys.
Yeah, I like Tyler Lockett. I think he is right now a boomer bust flex. I think when he booms, he's really going to boom for you. When he busts, you're just going to have to deal with a 3 for 38 or something like that. Doug Baldwin still kind of hobbled a little bit, but I think he's going to suffer severely from this new identity change from Russell Wilson passing the ball, making big plays, to we're going to control the clock and run the ball.
If you want to win ball games, that's what Pete has to do right now. He doesn't have the defense and he doesn't have the playmakers anymore, but I think you're absolutely right. Baldwin he's going to suffer the most from it. Hopefully this means that Rashad Penny's going to get some looks later on. As far as talent, overall talent, I think he's the most talented back on that squad. But Chris Carson is just straight balling right
now. And he's doing nothing to lose that job. And until Chris Carson hands over that job, there's no reason to move on to Penny. So that's kind of the problem with the running backs there. The one story that came out of the Seattle's offense that I thought was interesting is that keep your eye on this is if this continues, you're going to have to grab this guy. And that's David Moore, 3 receptions on 4 targets, 38 yards, but the key number being 2 touchdowns.
Huge touchdowns. I mean, he will not have to buy himself dinner in Seattle for about 2 years just because of that game right there.
No, that right there is they discussed going into this game. They were going to kind of move away from Brandon Marshall, move on to David Moore. And what did he do? He rewarded them with 2 touchdowns. And like you said, crucial touchdowns in crucial situations. It shows a lot of trust from Russell Wilson to throw him the ball at that point in time.
And I think, is Brandon Marshall done? I mean, seriously, is he going to, you know, play next year with the Titans and then down in Miami? And is he done? I mean, Brandon Marshall's done.
He is at fantasy. He is done. Done. He's well done. Football. He's done. I hope he doesn't do what Rice did and just kind of jump around from team to team to team to where he finally just gets cut and has to go away. And that's one thing I hope we don't see from Brandon Marshall.
Agreed. He's not relevant in fantasy anymore.
Two more games and we're done. Texans, Cowboys, Texans, Deshaun Watson looking better every week, taking some hits that you don't want to see him take. Alfred Blue got the start over Miller. Did about as good as Miller, maybe a little bit better, which isn't saying much. But I think that there is going to be a real question mark going into that backfield when Devontae Foreman comes back.
You know, Foreman has to be the guy. I mean, he fits that offense. They don't need to throw him the ball. He's not that guy. It's not that offense. But Deshaun Watson, he's turned into a superstar, has he not? I mean, I know he's your guy and you love him, but he's turned into that guy. And but some of the hits he's taken, if he was 30, he'd be on IR.
No, and this is part of learning to play in the NFL. But at the same time, dealing with a horrible offensive line, dealing with a shortage of receivers. You literally only have DeAndre Hopkins, you only have Kiki Coti, and you have Will Fuller, and everybody else is a scrub in this offense for the most part. He's just literally putting them on their shoulders from week to week to week, whether he's rushing the ball or passing the ball, getting a receiver that's fresh, a fresh rookie receiver off of a hamstring injury to start the season, comes in, goes for over 100 yards, second game, 51 yards and a touchdown, and Kiki Coti. I guess the biggest question there is Coti going to eat into Fuller's value?
First of all, Kiki Coti, best name in the league right now. Hands down, best name in the league right now. I don't see how he doesn't eat in to Fuller's touches and his targets. Fuller's kind of one of those guys, which I think you well know. I mean, he can go huge and 121 for two touchdowns or 2 for 15, right? Good for Watson, good for Coti. I think I like their chemistry. I think he has flex value moving forward.
I definitely do as well. I don't know if he has a huge impact on Fuller just based on the rest of the wide receiving core, the rest of the receivers in Houston. Fuller, this is the first game, the 2 for 15 last week, week five, where he's been on the field with Deshaun Watson, hasn't found the end zone. I've went back and looked. Fuller, when he's been on the field with Hopkins has been a third of the passing game. Fuller's been a third of the passing game, and then everybody else was the other third. I think Coti just might end up being the other 25% third of the offense, and then it's just going to be little scraps for everybody else. It might bring down Fuller's value a little bit, might suck off a few of his targets because he was getting double-digit targets in week four and week three. And maybe that comes down to 7, 8, 9 a week. But I think three targets week five is more of an aberration, more of a maybe he wasn't 100% from that hamstring injury.
It didn't look like he was 100%. And I think Fuller's one of those guys a lot of folks love to hate, right? If you look at the production from, you know, what do we have? Probably 12 full games Watson and him have played together. Fuller can ball. I think he's a guy you can put in the flex any day, and you're going to be sitting pretty.
For the Cowboys, obviously it's all about Elliott, but the names that you're kind of keeping an eye on, Jeff Swaim really starting to kind of take hold. He's the leading receiver, not to say that says much in Dallas, but the leading receiver this last week, caught a touchdown the week before. He is legitimately turning into a thing, as he's kind of a comfort a comfort blanket for Dak Prescott at the moment.
Well, there's nobody else to throw the ball to. Let's be honest. I mean, Tavon is one of the bright spots out of, you know, throwing the ball to for Dak, and we all know what Tavon does. So I think you can stash Swaim and see what happens a little bit deeper in the season, but it's really all about Zeke there.
It is. He's literally going to be 50% of the offense moving forward. That is, in all of my other fantasy leagues, I've said it on this podcast before, and I will say it again. I took Zeke in all of my podcasts or all of my other leagues, and he's paying off taking him over David Johnson. So the Saints are unstoppable. Mark Ingram came back, reminded you this is a guy that is going to probably be an RB2, fringe RB1 moving forward. Alvin Kamara, disappointing game, but probably more about giving some rest going into a bye than anything. Outside of Michael Thomas, the passing, the receiving core for the Saints is just a mess.
I like Cameron Meredith, and he had some great catches in that game. One of my favorite games of the week, Drew Brees, all-time passing leader in the NFL. I got a little teary. If you're a football fan, you didn't get teary on Monday night. You're not a football fan. I think you're right. Kamara, they're just giving a little bit of break. The dude's been carrying the ball, you know, the first five games, first four games. And it was nice to see Ingram take a little bit off his, and, you know, and let Kamara kind of take a break. But Kamara clearly is going to be, he has the most upside in fantasy on that football team, no question.
As far as the Redskins, Alex Smith, just not going to be the same quarterback that he was last season. I don't even know if he's in streaming status at this time. The passing game, just really not getting going for Washington. They had a great matchup against the Saints on a track in the dome. Just couldn't get things going. Just your leading receiver, Jamison Crowder, 4 receptions, 55 yards, just a mess. Your leading rusher, Chris Thompson, 8 for 17. What's going on with Washington?
I'm fairly certain that there's only one Gruden coaching in the league, and he just changes uniforms and goes and coaches the Raiders and the Redskins. What happened to AP? I think if either let AP run the ball on the goal line or don't. I love Capri Bibbs. Big fan of the dude. I think moving forward, if you're not going to use AP, let AP go. Use Chris Thompson. I think that might make more sense for Washington anyways, but if you're the Washington if you're Washington receiving corps and you're leaning on Crowder and Richardson, you're in trouble.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, that's one of those things. Paul Richardson, I kind of had this as a spot for him to break out. And he made a catch. I was like, ooh. And then he instantly went out with an ankle injury. So it's just Paul Richardson, somebody you're never going to be able to trust. I just don't see that breakout happening. I think the one guy that I'm still hopeful for is Jordan Reed. Only two looks. I think the biggest problem here is going to be you do have obviously a big part of the equation switching out from Kirk Cousins to Alex Smith, and I'm worried that Alex Smith and Jordan Reed are never going to get on the same page.
It sure doesn't look like it, and they haven't been on the same page. I mean, when Vernon has more catches and more targets than you, and you're really probably a top eight fantasy tight end, that's rough. If you don't have chemistry and you get injured a lot, we're in trouble, and you're going to have to keep them on the bench.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this week. I would like to thank our guest host, Jeff Henry, for joining us. Thank you, Jeff.
That was a pleasure to talk football, brother.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure we're going to have you back again soon. My normal host, Kevin Davis, loves. Well, we both have other jobs, so we just got to call it by ear. This has been Fantasy Sports Pundits, and I'm Jesse Osman.
Lee. We'll be back in a second with more Fantasy Sports Pundits.